You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you quit that J-O-B, get financial independence, and afford anything you want in life by investing in real estate. And in today's show, I'm super pumped to bring on a fantastic expert who's going to show us how we can find off-market deals, even land investing, even single family homes, show you how to find these off-market deals to capture a lot of equity and make more money. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
What's up? What's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. And I am super pumped to be sharing with you how to get more creative financing as well as finding off-market deals. Now, I personally love when other people send me deals, other investors, other homeowners, property managers, contractors, even, you know, sellers reaching out to me directly. But I love having everybody send me their deals because it's absolutely no work on my end to get these deals. Now, I will pay just a little bit more, or maybe, I don't know, let's say $5,000 or $10,000 more than I would if I found the property myself. Now, getting these off-market deals, that's where you capture the equity. Now, wholesalers, other turnkey companies, they find the properties off-market, and they buy it for really, really below market value. Then they fix it up, and then they sell it to you. Or the wholesalers, they'll get it under market value and they'll tack on their fee, let's say 5, 10% or $10,000, whatever it might be. And then they'll sell it to you and you hopefully make a little bit of money because you're buying it less than, as you know, somebody sold it through a realtor. But what is the best thing that you can do now, especially when the deals are hard to find? Back in 2010, 12, 13, like, it was so easy to find great deals. Now it's much harder, but they are absolutely out there. What we need to do is start finding the sellers ourselves. And I just created a brand new course inside of the Income Builder membership and group coaching that we have. It's Creative Financing, How to Buy Properties Without Banks. And that's like the best thing right now is you need to find properties that are off market. When I say off market, it's not being sold by a realtor on the MLS, the multiple listing service. And so you need to find these sellers on your own, cut out the middleman. And I have even been finding properties for myself that I'm buying off market, getting seller financing, getting subject to, getting assumable loan on these properties. And I'm putting all of my recordings inside the course because I get a lot of students say, hey, Dustin, how do you actually talk to a seller? How do you talk to a realtor? I don't even know how to talk to them. What to say? Well, the best way to learn is you listening to me do it. So I put those in there. I put in there how to find these deals. And today's show, I'm bringing on a fantastic expert who's going to be showing us how we can use a fantastic software that's going to help us find these deals. Now, I got to warn you though. I mean, I say warn, but I got to share with you something. Now, you're going to hear inside this episode of basically a good friend of mine, his name's Seth Williams. He's coming on and he's walking us through how he buys land for very, very cheap. And then that land, he would resell it. He'd go sell it and make a lot of money. Well, here's the warning, or quote unquote warning, but here's, like, I got to let you know what's going on. So I'm looking to buy land here in Tennessee, more land, let's say 20, 30 acres. My goal in life is to have two things on my land. Obviously, a house would be great, but I want to have a shooting range in the backyard where we can go out and shoot guns and have a great time, and a fishing pond or a lake that we could fish in. So I'm looking for that. Now, here's the reason why I give you this little caveat about this episode. You're going to hear me talking about how, like I say, Seth, help me find some land for myself. And here's the thing. It was just like last week, driving through Tennessee. Tennessee's so beautiful. Everything's green, so much land everywhere. Honestly, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing Master Passive Income. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing coaching or even my conferences or even the mastermind that I'm putting on in September. Might be the last mastermind that I do. I don't know. I might do more, but I was driving last week. My kids and I, we went and played golf at this small little golf course. It was a lot of fun. But as we're driving, I'm looking at all the land. I'm seeing cows. I'm seeing like just farms and ranches everywhere. And honestly, that's looking really exciting. You know, like living off the land, like the good Lord intended. That's one of my good friends. He said that when he moved to Tennessee, and I'm looking at, went visited him. He's got cows, butchers them and puts, you know, fills an entire freezer, gets milk from them. So I quit my job back in 2016 because I wanted to not have something to do or lots of things going on. Well, starting Master Passive Income, I have a lot more things going on. My life gets so busy. In fact, I had to stop doing one-on-one coaching because we have so many, like thousands of students now, that I now have my students who graduated who are now doing the one-on-one coaching with me. And my time's getting so filled up. And it might just be that sometime in the future, I don't know how far out in the future, I might just stop all this and have my farm, live off the land like the good Lord intended, you know, having our cows, getting milk from the cows, having our chickens. My wife has right now, even in our house that has the HOA, we have 19 or 21 chickens or something like that, a lot of chickens. But being able to live off the land and just focus on farming or ranching, that might be fun. In fact, I don't tell this to many people, but if I was not a real estate investor, my dream job would actually become, I would be and become a butcher. I love processing my own games. We go hunting. I take my kids hunting, and Lord willing, we're going to get elk this year. October, my son has a youth elk tag in Arizona. So Lord willing, we're going to be able to get one. So that's one that I love hunting, but then I also love processing my own game. And then I realized, man, I would love to butcher my own cow. I'd love to, you know, have a freezer hanging up, and who knows, maybe I might even start a ranching business where we sell our own meat. But I say all this to say, you're going to hear me in this video talking about, hey, help me find some land, Seth. And I'm currently looking for land because once I find, let's say 10, 20, 30 acres, I'd love to get as many as possible. Then I'll probably start getting cows. Then we'll probably start getting sheep and goats and all that sort of stuff. And my time's going to be taken up doing that. And that's honestly something I really want to do. And so, yeah, just want to give you a little heads up. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing this. I love coaching. I love helping as many people as I possibly can to invest in real estate, but it does take up so much time. And I'm looking at the ability to feed my family and provide for everything that we do off of the land. That's sounding very, very enticing. Like, I'm really excited about doing that, but I am like, yeah, I still have lots of coaching left in me where I just want to help more and more people. But who knows when I do, and you'll hear me, I'll tell you when I've actually found and bought the land and started buying cows, I'll share that with you as well. But once that start happening, I may just have to, you know, call it a day and move on from Master Passive Income and all the coaching. But anyways, that's not today. And so I want to give you a little heads up. But I love that you come back and listen all the time, like every single week. My goal is to help you to be successful in real estate and have my kind of life where I literally don't do anything all day long other than go on podcasts, coach students, create new content for new coaching and new courses. Like, that's what consumes my time. Creating the conference or putting on conferences takes up so much time. You would not believe how much time it takes for me to put on an in-person live conference that's 3 or 4 days. It takes up so much work. And so now I'm just realizing it might be a lot, maybe a new chapter in my life, having a ranch. That might be a lot of fun. So let me get into it. I don't want to keep rambling on about what might happen in the future, but if you want to start working with me, I'm putting on the mastermind. Mastermind is relatively inexpensive for you to come to this mastermind. And I don't do one-on-one coaching anymore, but here I will be coaching you. We're going to have a small group, maybe 10, 15 people there, and I'm going to have my Master Passive Income coaches going to be there as well. Zach Zimmer, who's the passive investor, he's going to be there as well. We're going to have such an amazing time helping you to become super successful. And so, like I said, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do this, but If you go and check the link in the description, masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind, you can come hang out with me in Denver, September 19th through the 21st. I think we're ending in the evening, having a closing party on the 21st. So people are flying out on the 22nd, but come hang out with me. If you get in there, you're going to see that your life is dramatically going to change because we have so many amazing ways for you to invest in real estate, become financially independent, and that's our goal. It's going to be life-changing for every single person there. Now, let's jump into today's show where I'm going to be sharing with you and interviewing a fantastic investor who's going to show us how to find off-market deals and finding raw land that we can flip and sell as well, utilizing the land portal. And he even has a special promotion deal for you. It doesn't go to me. He's just a friend of mine. So I want you to use his software. And so we'll put the link in the description for that software. We'll also talk about it. And so you can also find this episode on YouTube where he actually walks through. You're going to hear it on this episode. You're going to hear us talking through this software, showing the map and all this criteria and stuff. But I'll put the link in the description as well for the YouTube channel or YouTube video where you can see us actually doing this walkthrough and finding land and getting good deals. All right, let's jump into today's show where I interview Seth Williams. He's going to show us how to become super successful finding off-market deals. Here we go. Hey, Seth, thanks for being on, man.
Hey, Dustin. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is tremendous that you've been doing this for quite a while. It's just very similar to me. Like, we've probably started very similar times where, you know, investing a long time ago, but then also started helping people with our websites and even, you know, having courses and things like that, and even having a podcast. I mean, I love having a podcast where we can help people and YouTube channel as well. And but that's how you and I met through that. But we have different asset classes that we invest in. But I would love to get investing in land. That would just be phenomenal to do that. But so how is everything on your end? Because I've had you on the show many times. And so I definitely want everybody to go back and listen to the past episodes where Seth talks about his experience and the past and everything. But yeah, so how has investing been now? Right now it's 2025, but how has investing been in the land business for you?
Yeah, it's going good. Things have definitely changed over the past several years here. Probably the biggest change we've seen over the past 12 to 24 months are things are getting a lot more competitive. I think say margins are getting squeezed. So it's, not quite as easy as it used to be. It's funny because back in, you know, years ago, I don't think people would have called it easy then either, but it was definitely easier then than it is now, just in terms of being able to send mail out and find people really easily, and they would gladly sell for way below market value. You can still do that, but it takes more mail. The mail is more expensive. People aren't necessarily as motivated, so it just kind of takes more work to get to the deals. But on the bright side, there's been a lot of really helpful tools and software that have come out specifically for land investors that never existed before that have just made things way easier to find and target the people you actually want to talk to and not the wrong people. And then when you do find people and properties you might want to buy, you can get the information you need about those properties a lot easier. So you don't have to have so much guesswork involved. Like, you can find out a lot more from your computer.
It's interesting. So I started investing back in 2006, and everything that is even email wasn't, I mean, we had email, but it wasn't as robust, you know, DocuSign and stuff. But when I started investing back in 2006, all the technology that we have today, oh my goodness, I wish we had it back then, because it would be, it'd make it a lot easier. But at the same time, you're also seeing the benefits and repercussions of it because it's so easy to get these tools, more people are investing. So you get a little more competition, but when you become an expert, or not necessarily expert, but like, you start doing this enough, you start finding shortcuts, or that's not the right way to say it, better ways to do it to get more success out of things. Now, I would love to hear what's working for you, but before we get there, talk to us a little bit, because not everybody on my show, they know that we should look at land as another asset class. And what are the possibilities with land investing?
Yeah, sure. Well, a lot of people don't think about land because, you know, like most people, myself included, when I first got into real estate, houses is what came to mind. That's just kind of what everybody goes to for obvious reasons. You know, rental properties, it's, you know, easy to find tenants. It's a pretty decent type of property to work with. But there are drawbacks to houses, and properties with structures on them, as there are with any type of property. You know, you've got tenants who don't pay, things fall apart, things get broken, stolen, and destroyed. And with land, you've got none of that. It's a very boring type of property, and it behaves itself.
I don't mind boring.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of why they don't really make TV shows about people flipping land, is because there's just not enough drama to show, which for land investors is a great thing. That's awesome. So, but yeah, so land, I mean, just the property type by itself is pretty easy to work with. But also, there's a lot of people out there that own land that don't want to own land. Usually they, you know, maybe inherited it from somebody, or they bought it 20 years ago and they kind of just, you know, lost interest in it. And you can find these people through direct mail, through texting, cold calling, lots of different ways, and basically just say, hey, landowner, I see you own land. You want to sell it? I can give you a fast cash offer. And a lot of these people, especially if they inherited it or if they just don't care about it anymore, they're more than happy to take a below market value offer because they don't know what to do with it and they don't want to pay the taxes on it anymore. And you're basically just giving them an easy button. And the thing is, these people are not going to put a for sale sign in their front yard. So like the only way you're ever going to find them is if you go out there and find them off market like this. And yeah, so it's just about the simple land type, but also it's a little easier to find people who want to sell. And because it's just land, it's not the roof over anybody's head. There's usually a lot less emotional attachment to it. It's not like, no, that's the house my grandma lived in or something like that. It's just dirt. So there, it's easier to get detached from it and let it go.
Could you with land, you know, finding land, could you help me understand what would you say? Because you have plenty of students, you have courses that teach this, really, really great stuff. But boiling everything down, what would you say is a great strategy, or like the one that kind of boils to the top as being a better strategy? I know you've talked a lot about direct mail. Even having a website that people can go to and the direct mail and offers. But what would you say? Is that it? Like, what's the lowest hanging fruit? If you're going to get into it, do, you know, get a list of properties, then send direct mail and have a website for them to go to or a phone number. Like, can you give me anything like that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. The answer kind of depends on the person, how much money they have, which battles they want to fight. The reason I say that is because every different way that you can send out marketing now, there's, you know, mail, that's kind of like the go-to. And back in the day, that was all anybody did was just mail. People have started exploring other options now, like texting or cold calling or ringless voicemails, emails, online ads. There's lots of different ways to do it now. But the reason people started exploring those other ideas was because the cost of postage was going up and also response rates to mail were going down. But the nice thing about mail, if you want to use that, is that if you can get past the higher cost of it, is that the people who do respond to your mail, they tend to be much better qualified sellers. Because when you think about what happens when you cold call somebody, you're kind of interrupting them in the middle of their day. They answer the phone. What do you want? And now you're trying to, you know, haggle with them and, you know, close a deal. But when somebody gets your mail, like, they can very easily just ignore you and throw it away. But for them to actually read your letter, pick up the phone and call you, like just by doing that, like they're expressing interest. Like the first you ever hear from them, like they're already kind of warmed up and ready to go. I mean, they may not accept your lowball price, but at least they're interested. Whereas with these other mediums like texting and cold calling, you're kind of just getting in their way. The advantage with cold calling and texting though, and ringless voicemail, is that it's a lot less expensive and it's also easier to verify deliverability. So with mail, sometimes you send it out and like, you don't know if they got it ever. Who knows? Or maybe they did and they'll call you a year later. But with texting and cold calling and ringless voicemail and online ads for that matter, like you can see right then and there, did they get it? And if it worked, they're probably going to reply to you either immediately or within about 5 minutes or so. So there's a lot less ambiguity and guesswork. And again, the cost per person to contact them is a lot less. But when you do get a hold of them and start talking, like you might have to work a little harder to actually see, are you willing to sell? Are you motivated?
So it gets me thinking. So my wife and I moved to the Nashville area and we would love to buy some land and build a house that would be, you know, as how we would like it. Have some land where my wife wants a mini farm with cows and stuff like that. And chickens, we already have chickens, but like goats, and think of like a normal farm. And I just think of more work for me, but oh well. I know we will have things that we can eat, eggs and whatever, you know, even, you know, having cows and stuff, drinking the milk that I know where it came from. So that's a trade-off. Yeah. So would you be able to help me maybe create a plan? Well, number one, we need a list. We need to figure out who we're going to send to, but then I have a little bit of money, so I'm fine with doing the less work and spend more money, because I would rather buy my time, or, you know, spend money so I have more time. I'd rather just have somebody that is direct, like ready to sell. In fact, I did direct mail. It was probably about a year or two ago in St. Louis, looking for properties. I sent out maybe 1,000 the like, you know, letters. Actually, it was kind of funny enough. It was a check, one of those ones you tear the sides. It looks like a bank check. And it says, obviously, it's not 100%, like you can't cash it, but it looks pretty neat. And they called, and I got a lot of people calling it, and it was only 1,000 people. I probably got, I don't know, 20 or 30 people calling. So anyways, I'm totally fine with spending extra money, but can you help me craft either a plan, get a list, and if I'm going to go after properties in the or land in this area?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple different ways I've done this in the past. One of them is by getting a delinquent tax list from the county, which works really well. But the problem with the delinquent tax list is that they're kind of hard to get. A lot of counties won't hand them over. And if they do, the information is just a total mess. It's not in good condition at all. So it can work if you can have the patience to get through all those steps. A much easier way to do this, though, is with a data service where you can much quicker and easier, am I saying it right? A much quick and easy fashion, you can pick your state, your county, specify exactly what kind of properties you're looking for, the sizes, lots of different stuff, and download it in a matter of minutes. And that's usually what I do now. And the software I use for that is called the Land Portal. And if you want, I can give you a play-by-play on how to do that.
Well, that'd be fantastic. If you could help me figure out how to do this, that'd be great. So for everybody listening on the podcast, Seth's going to show his screen right now, because he's going to show us how to do it. But you could also check it out on YouTube as well. It'll be posted on YouTube for you to watch. But we're going to talk you through every single step of the way. So Seth, we need, it seems like, just like any type of investing, you need to have a list or know which properties to go after and which ones are more likely to sell or that even fit your criteria. So you said it's the Land Portal is what you've been using, correct? With the Land Portal, you can pull all this information. And if I remember, we were chatting a little before that this has a lot of great things for land investors that normal lists wouldn't have, like the slope or, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the Land Portal as you're pulling it up.
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to pull it up right now and show people who are watching? And I'll try to verbally explain what we're doing as well for those of you that are not watching, just so you can kind of follow along what's going on. Let's see here. So with the Land Portal, the way this works, it opens up with this big map of the U.S. There's lots of different ways you can start using this. If you have a specific property that you know you want to buy, you can actually like zoom into it and do a lot of research to understand like, what is the slope? Is it steep or not? Does it have road access? How big is it? Where's the parcel map? Is it in a flood zone? Does it have wetlands on it? All these questions can be answered. It's pretty awesome. I've actually made a bunch of different videos explaining those components. But if we're like trying to find properties through the direct mail approach, like you're talking about, it's just a matter of going up here to filtered search, which is right at the very top of the left sidebar. And the first thing we do is just specify, okay, what is the state we want to do this in? And then what is the county we want to do this in? So you said what?
Tennessee. So the county would either be Rutherford. I don't know what the other county is closer to us, but let's try Rutherford first. Let's see what that pulls up.
Cool. So we've selected Tennessee, Rutherford County. And going down here, so there's a lot of different things the Land Portal can do that can be used by pretty much any real estate investor. But if you're a land investor specifically, or say if you're a real estate agent who deals with land, or a surveyor or a developer, these things are particularly interesting to those folks, because It can use AI filters to determine whether or not a property is truly vacant. And the reason this is important is because a lot of times the county's data will say that a property is vacant when it's not really. There's actually a house built on it. And what this does is it actually looks at the map to say, hey, do we see a house on there or not? And it uses that to determine whether or not it's vacant. You don't have to use that if you don't want to, but you can. It's just this little checkbox right there. If you say vacant lots with no structures identified by AI, I'm trying to make this a little bit bigger.
Let's do that.
So there's that. Now going down here, do you have an idea what kind of acreage you would want? Like what's too small? What's too big? What's your range?
Man, I would love to say, okay, like 50 acres, 100, but I would say probably 5 acres would be the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then maxes, yeah, you can have it as high as you can.
Yeah, say 5 to 100 acres. I don't know.
Yeah, let's try that.
Your take, is it? So down here, it does have these MLS features where you can say, we only want the properties that are currently listed for sale or the ones that are not listed for sale. So that's an option that's currently in beta. It's a new feature they just added. I'm not going to mess with it on this one. But another thing we can do here is target only property owners who live outside the state and or outside of Rutherford County, Tennessee. The reason that's important is because statistically, you usually find that when people live further away from the property they own, there's more disinterest in it. Like it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Whereas if somebody owns the parcel in their backyard, they're probably not going to sell that thing for pennies on the dollar because it's their backyard, you know? So something I usually do is I say, you know, only the people who are out of the county and only the people that are out of the state or one or the other.
Can they pull this from like the tax mailing address?
Yeah. So what they have on every single property is what that property's address is and what the owner's mailing address is. And if it's an owner-occupied property, those addresses are going to be the same. If it's an absentee-owned property, which for vacant land, it should be because it's vacant land. They're not living there. Those will be two different addresses. But this can actually identify these aren't just two different addresses. Like the address of the owner is literally in another state. So that's how it knows that kind of thing. So moving on down here. So another thing we can do is we can specify the land use, which may or may not be useful, but it's the kind of thing where if you know you want to buy this property for the purpose of building a house, then you might want to say, okay, well, let's select the ones that are zoned for single family residential.
And I want to pause for just a quick second and say thank you so much for listening to the show. If you've gotten anything out of the show, I would appreciate it if you went to anywhere that you listen to, say Apple or Spotify or wherever, and leave a 5-star review. Honestly, I really appreciate you leaving an honest review. I just love giving all this information out and I want to see you succeed. Also, send this to one person. Just tell one person and say, hey, Dustin wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. You need to listen to this because it's going to change your life. Lastly, get my real estate investing course completely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, rental to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course showing you everything in the business so that you can become financially independent.
And you can add multiple uses to this if you want. Say if you could get something that just doesn't have zoning yet, or you just want it to be vacant land general. Where you want commercial vacant land, you can do all that stuff. So
what would you do if you were looking for a property that you wanted to buy and build a house on?
Yeah, so a lot of this depends on Rutherford County and what logic they use when they label properties, vacant land versus residential vacant land versus single family resident. Like, what does that mean according to them? And something you'll find is that from county to county, it doesn't always mean the same thing. So you kind of have to understand their logic. Because I don't know that off the top of my head, I'm probably going to select as many of these things as I can that still seem relevant. So, you know, I probably wouldn't pick commercial or industrial, for example. I probably wouldn't pick government vacant land, but like rural agricultural vacant land. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Or recreational vacant land. Okay, let's do that. Let's see. So, yeah, I would probably do those. The ones that you see right there on the screen. Now, another thing we can do here is say, last sale date. And what we're talking about here is we only want the properties on this list to have been sold within, X year and X year. I actually don't often mess with this that much, but the reason you might want to do it is because if you know you're trying to pay a really low price for vacant land, then there's a pretty good chance somebody who just bought that property last year is probably not already ready to sell it. For it's usually people that have bought the property 5, 7, 10, 20 years ago. So that might be one logic you could use to say, yeah, only the people who sold it from, or, you know, bought it in between like 1900, just to go way back, or like, I don't know, 2019 before COVID, you could do that. And another thing to keep in mind is that as you're going through this process, the more filters you put on, we've already put on a bunch of filters here, the smaller and smaller and smaller your list is going to be, which is actually good. But sometimes you'll find if you do too many filters, your list will be zero. Like there's literally nobody that matches what you're looking for. So it's just something you got to keep in mind. If we go through this process and find there's nobody on our list, it means we were too restrictive. We have to start loosening some of these things up. Now, the next thing here, property slope. So this is something unique to the land portal. No other data service out there has this. And what we're doing here is we're trying to say we only want properties where blank percent of that property has a slope under blank percent. I'll try to explain what's going on here. So when you look at building on a parcel of vacant land, the slope has a lot to do with how buildable or not buildable that is. You can technically build on anything, no matter how steep it is, even if it's a cliff, you can build on that. It just gets very, very expensive to do that. If you want the engineering cost to be low, you usually want that slope to be, you know, 5% or less, maybe 10%, but the steeper and steeper a property gets, the more expensive it's going to be to build on that thing. So with that in mind, you know, I'm going to say, oh, and also when it says the percent of the property, so say if we have a property that's 5 acres in size, half of that thing could be very steep as long as the other half of it isn't. We just want enough room where it's flat where we could build a house. So the whole thing doesn't have to be flat, but some of it should be flat-ish, if that makes sense.
That's pretty neat that this data can actually be that, I guess, much more detailed. Because you're right, if I have a 20-acre lot and there's a half of it is steep, but the other half is not, like that's good to know, as opposed to just blanket. Yeah, it's really steep, so you want to buy it. Well, it could be great.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So in this example, I'm saying we only want to see properties where 50% of the property has a slope under 10%. So we'll see what happens. Now over here, we've got buildability total and buildability area. So it's kind of using the same slope data to try to make a determination for how much of this property is buildable based on the slope. So it's kind of doing a similar thing to what this slope percentage thing is doing. So because I've already done that, I'm not going to mess with it, but just be aware if you're looking strictly, just give me the bottom line, how much of it is buildable. You could say that there too. Another thing here is this landlocked filter. So this is something I was kind of surprised when I first got into the land business, was I found that there are a ton of properties out there, vacant lots, that literally have no road access. You can't get to them. They're like behind other parcels. Why? I don't know. I don't know why the municipality allows this to happen. It's crazy, but it's a problem if it's landlocked because you legally can't access it. It's like, in a sense, it might as well be on the moon because you can't get to the thing. So having a landlocked property instantly makes the value go way, way, way down. It's not worth nothing. It's just very impractical to do that. So another thing you can do, knowing that you intend to build on this property, you could say, okay, we don't want anything that is landlocked. So no to landlocked properties. And the way it does that, again, is it looks at the satellite maps and the road data to understand how much road frontage is in front of each parcel. And if it sees no road frontage, then it's landlocked. So, and if you wanted to specify exactly how much road frontage, you could do that too. I don't think it matters too much for what you're talking about here, but say if we were looking for big properties that we wanted to subdivide, it's really helpful if you have a lot of road frontage, because then you can use the existing road frontage and not have to build new roads into it. So if you wanted to say, hey, only, you know, 50 acre properties with a couple thousand feet of road frontage, you could specify that here if you wanted to. Moving on here, so we can also specify maximum FEMA coverage. That means the flood zone coverage. So we could say, we don't want a property with any flood zones on it at all. We're like, we're okay if half of it's in a flood zone. You can specify that here too. Same thing with wetlands. So in case you didn't know, wetlands are a problem for land investors because you can't build on them, or at least it's very expensive to try to build on them. So if you don't want to deal with all that mess, you can just say no wetlands, or, you know, only 10% of the property can have wetlands.
And so that's what would you put in these two?
Yeah. So it kind of depends on the size of the property. Like if it ended up being a 5-acre property, you know, I mean, maybe like 10 or 20% of wetlands would be fine, something like that. If it was a 100-acre property, then like, you know, half of it or 70% of it could be, as long as the place that you want to build does not have wetlands or anything in it. And flood zones are a little bit different. You can build in a flood zone. It just means that your flood insurance is going to be expensive. So if you cannot do it, that's more ideal. So, yeah. Another thing we can do here is we can specify, we only want to send this mail or contact property owners who own multiple properties. So like, if you just own one property, I don't care about you. I'm looking for the people that own a bunch of land so I can make offers on all their stuff. I don't use this a lot, but there are some land investors that specifically target portfolio owners, people that own lots of land. So if that's your strategy, you can do that right here in the land portal. Moving on down here. So where it says bedroom, living area, square feet, those are more carryover filters from, you know, for most people that use houses. So if you are looking for houses with the land portal, you can do that. Since we're looking for land, it's kind of irrelevant. And then down here, it says corporate owned. So if you want to, you can just make a blanket statement. Hey, if a company owns this, I don't want to contact them. I don't know why you'd make that broad of a statement unless you were planning to close these yourself, which you can actually do in the vacant land business because it's a very simple process. There's no loans involved. But for me, it's I don't really care if a corporation owns it. I could still buy from them just like anybody else. And also down here where it says you can include or exclude certain words from the owners. So say, for example, if you don't want to send mail to a bank or like a church or a cemetery, like we know we're not going to buy land from them, you could put those words in here and it would then exclude those words from the list of owners. So there you go.
Awesome.
And there's actually a lot more filters we could do, but this is already getting kind of long, so I'm not going to get into that. But just know you can get even deeper with this if you want to. So with all that stuff in place, we're going to click apply. And we're going to see how many people show up on this list. Looks like we've got 46 properties.
Oh, wow.
So click on this. Awesome. And over here on the right, we can see exactly where these properties are. If we wanted to like click into them and like view them, we could. There's also the list of properties here on the left. And, you know, if we just click on one of these things, it'll take us right there. We can see the parcel map. We can see all of the property information here, the slope analysis, everything. And we can even skip trace this right here with the skip trace button. So say like, I don't want to send you a letter. I just want to call this person right now. Say, okay, let's skip trace them. And we can figure that out and figure out who they are. And it's just awesome. Like this kind of stuff was either like non-existent or extremely difficult, you know, 10 years ago, or it was very, very expensive. And
what's that AI report right there? Oh, you were going to show it. Yeah.
Yep. No, it's great. So there's actually two things here. There's the slope report. I'm going to go ahead and send a request to that. That's where it basically, it creates these heat maps and just shows you very specifically where the slopes are on the property, what the percentages are. Gives you a really clear idea for like, this over here is probably the most buildable area. And there's also this comp report. We can order that thing too. And with comp reports, this is actually awesome. So one of the hardest things about the land business is understanding how much a vacant lot is really worth. This is much, much harder than trying to appraise a house. Because with a house, you can value properties based on the cost to rebuild them, or based on how much income they're generating, or based on the similar comps that have sold in the area. And that data is pretty easy to get. With land, though, you can't use the cost approach. You can't use the income approach in most cases. All you can do is use comps. And sometimes, like, there are no exact comps. So, like, the data you need just isn't there. But what this does here is it will go out and find that data, everything that's out there, and do its best
guess at trying to put together a valuation estimate for you. So it's kind of like an AI appraisal. And when we scroll down here, we can see, okay, there's the property. It's outlining it right there. It's giving us all the information. And according to the land portal, it thinks that this property is worth $180,596.45. It gives us the per acre value, but it doesn't just tell us that. It shows us the comps that it picked. And the ones that you see up here at the top, that's what it thinks are the most relevant comps, the most appropriate ones to choose. And the value is kind of a weighted average based on the ones that are closest to the top. So this one here at the bottom, like it might not be that close, but it was close enough to throw in there. So it's not going to give equal weight to that. It's going to start at the top and trickle down from there. You can also see this chart that kind of shows where your property is, that green dot in the middle, based on all the other comps around it and how it came to that value. And you know, you don't have to assume this is correct. In fact, I probably wouldn't assume this is correct, but it gives you a huge step forward. Like you can spend a lot less time hunting around for good comps because it gives you a bunch of them right here. And you can click on any one of these things. It'll open up a new window and it will zoom in on that comp. And you can look at it yourself and be like, is this good? Yeah, it looks good. Or no, it's not good. I'm not going to use this. So you kind of get rid of this and there we go.
Okay, so let's say we had the list of 46 that you just pulled up. Mm-hmm. With that list, what are your thoughts about the next step to acquire the property?
Yeah. Yeah, so the next step would simply be, see if I can get out of here, go back to our filtered search. And is it still there? Oh, bummer. It's not there. I forgot to save my search. Well, so what we would have done is save the list and then export the list. And when you export the list, it's a spreadsheet with all of the names, the addresses, the mailing addresses, the coordinates, acreages, like everything. And that AI comp report I just showed you. So you can even include that AI valuation next to each parcel. So which that alone is huge because if you want to assume that that's correct, you can use that very quickly to formulate discounted offers in bulk and send them all out as blind offers, the first thing you send to people, or at least when you're talking to on the phone, you can pull up your spreadsheet and see the supposed value for each one right there as you're making your offer.
So what you would is you would take that list and physically, like meaning you, if you yourself were doing this like I am, it'd be direct mail. You wouldn't call them each directly?
I mean, it kind of depends on what kind of direct mail I'm going to send out. Like, blind offers, for example, that's one way that some people do it, where it's a 1 or 2 page letter where it's literally a purchase agreement with an offer right there. So the first thing they see when they open it up is what your offer is, and they can sign it and send it back to you if they want. So there's that. There's also a neutral letter, though, where you don't do that. You just say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Smith, I see you own this property in Rutherford County, Tennessee. You know, I'm looking to buy land. I'm a land investor. Give me a call back. I can offer you a cash offer, fast closing, and then you get calls that way. And then you have a deeper conversation before you make your final offer. But to answer your question, I mean, I think the easiest way to do this would be the direct mail approach in terms of it doesn't require a ton of time from you. You can send it out there. What a lot of land investors are finding, though, if they want to like really squeeze everything they can out of their list, is they actually do a couple of these things. They might start with a letter, 30 days later, send them a text. Hey, did you get my letter? And then if they don't respond to that, they could send them another text or they could call them. So if you were like a serious land flipper doing this full time, you would probably want to do multiple approaches. But if you're just kind of casually trying this out, I'd probably start with mail.
So what would be a blind offer that would be adequate for this list? Like, is that a percentage of what the comps would be?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on what we think that supposed value of the property is. There's usually a sliding scale where if you're dealing with properties that are worth, I don't know, $5,000 to $10,000, like really cheap stuff. In that case, like in order for it to even be worth my time, there's got to be a pretty big profit margin. Because even a big profit margin on a $10,000 deal isn't that much money. So my offer for that kind of thing would probably be like 20 to 40% of its market value. But when we start getting higher in value to like $50,000, $100,000, $500,000, now we're talking, well, you can't just offer 10% of market value for that. Now it's like we got to offer more like 40, 50, 60% of market value even. And you could potentially even go higher than that if you had some strategy in mind to double close it or assign it. So like you're not even buying the thing. You're just finding the next buyer and assigning it to them. Or if you were planning to subdivide it, then you're like literally making the land worth more because you're creating new parcels from it. That's what a lot of folks are doing now in land is they're buying bigger properties and subdividing them. And when you're doing that, you can pay, you know, a lot more because what you're going to end up selling is not necessarily what you're buying. You're creating a new product essentially during your ownership and selling it for a lot more in the end.
So if it's worth more, like that one property we were looking at, the comp was $184,000 for that property. Yeah. You would be a little more nuanced per property. You wouldn't just say blanket 20%, 22.8% or something like that, where it comes off number. But you would be anything of 50 to 100,000, this percentage, and 100 and 200,000, this percentage. Is that, or do you have to go through each one?
Yeah. So you could create some kind of conditional logic in your spreadsheet where it just understands, hey, if it's between this value and this value, then the offer should be this percent of that value, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. Then once we have that, sending out direct mail, which you and I both on our YouTube channels have companies that we work with and show that you can find. I mean, there's lots of companies that do it. But so you send direct mail and then hopefully you get phone calls. But one thing that I know is when you get a call, you better answer the phone. Like it's you don't want to wait. You don't want to, you know, oh, I'll get back to him. No, if you're in the middle of something, you stop what you're doing and answer the phone, because that is how you get the sale, especially when you're off market and such a lower price than what they would want or normally get. Like for a comp, you're going to pay 180 grand for a property as opposed to maybe paying 90, you know, getting half of that. But what are your thoughts about sending out direct mail? Then what are the next steps after that?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically what you said. I can tell you that back in the day when there were a lot more motivated people, you didn't necessarily have to be right there to answer. And I guess you still don't have to, but you're going to lose people. Like you said, if you're not like ready to go. And I don't mean to imply that you personally need to answer the phone. I mean, that would certainly help if you could, but what a lot of people will do is have some kind of a online receptionist service like Pat Live or something similar, where there's a real human answering the phone. They can't really do much. They just sort of ask questions, get whatever information you want to get out of that potential seller, and then they deliver it to you. They'll put it in your CRM and you can call them back. But at the very least, like you're showing that person calling in, someone's alive here, like someone's paying attention. And I think there's even like, you know, AI receptionists now that can do this stuff. I haven't started using that yet, but I think that's going to be the wave of the future for sure, where there's somebody there 24/7 and they don't make mistakes. There's that kind of thing too.
I've seen, so there's, you can go ahead and stop sharing now.
Sure.
So I've seen where somebody created an app or a program where it literally calls for you and it has a conversation, problem solves, and AI did it all. And the voice sounded fantastic, even added in the word in the vocabulary. Now, the one little caveat, though, is FTC. Is that the communications?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you have to specifically state this is an AI person you're talking to, then have the conversation. You can't just throw it out there because then you can get sued.
Yeah, yeah.
But this, this is super cool with having the ability to do all this sort of stuff and find off-market properties and then buy it. I mean, because I know when you first got started, you were buying. I went through your course, great course, and there were things like you would put an offer on that was pretty low. Somebody would come back and you would negotiate. They would come back and say, hey, that's too low. Would you take this? And you would reply, no, I can't. This is our top dollar. And then they'd come back again and say, okay, I'm ready to take your offer. Oh, well, our numbers have changed. Now it's even lower. And so you got people like even less and less and less just because they didn't bite on the first offer.
Yeah. Yeah. You're kind of calling their bluff when they do that. Like when they said no, and then they come back, it's like, okay. And you know, it doesn't always work. Don't get me wrong, but you kind of have to consider the situation. Like, what do you know about this person? Like, have they revealed anything about their situation? You don't always want to just like stick him lower and lower just because, but sometimes you can. You know.
Man, that's fantastic. I'm definitely going to be using this because, like I said, my wife and I are looking for land out here in this area, Franklin to Nashville and all that area, looking for land to build. That would be super awesome to be able to do that. I'd love to have a pond or like a fishing pond or a lake on the land. That would be awesome, as well as a shooting range would be fun to have. But so we need a lot of land. And so,
Yeah.
yeah, really looking forward to it. But man, Seth, this is terrific. And I really appreciate you walking us through this.
Yeah.
Now, if people wanted to use Land Portal, do they just go to landportal.com to sign up for it?
Yeah, that's a great question. You could, although if you want to get 1,000 free exports, so that this whole list filtering thing we've been talking about, so there is a small cost per line item when you export it. But if you sign up for the advanced plan through my affiliate link, it's retipster.com/land portal. If you go there and if you use the coupon code Seth, SETH at checkout for the advanced plan, you can get 1,000 free exports when you sign up. So
That's awesome.
yeah.
How is skip tracing? Is that included?
I believe that's not part of 1,000 free exports, but that is something you can absolutely do in the land portal. You can
Very
either
cool.
skip trace one at a time by clicking on it, or you can bulk skip trace and do like
Man,
thousands of them at a time.
awesome. So retipster.com/land portal. Use the promo code Seth and get that 1,000 free. That I mean, that's very, very valuable because I mean, shoot, if you get one deal. If you get one deal, it's going to absolutely pay for all of the direct mail to the list to everything. So, man, Seth, that's awesome. Now, how else can people find you? We got Ari Tipster on YouTube. Everybody, you need to watch. Seth's videos are amazing. So many on every type of subject. We have aritipster.com. So much great content on there. Podcast, Ari Tipster podcast. Any other way that you want to people to reach out to you?
Yeah, no, appreciate all the shout outs there. It's retipster.com is like the home base, but all that stuff you talked about, the podcast, the YouTube channel, that's kind of where you can find me out there. The RE Tipster community on Facebook is another one where there's a lot of people hanging out. We've also got a forum on retipster.com. So depending on where you like to hang out and what you like to do, there's something for most people out there.
Awesome. Seth, great having you on the show. And I really appreciate you spending the time walking us through this because this is very valuable for us as investors to be able to utilize a list to find off-market properties and hopefully, capture a lot of equity. So I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks, Dustin. Great to be here.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777. RENTAL to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.